In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "Was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me'? And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray that the Lord would bless it. Oh, Father, this is indeed a challenging passage for us to understand, and yet your Son came to be light, and to give us life, to make you known, to make your love known. Would you please be with us by your Spirit, and would you unstop our ears and soften our hearts and open our eyes that we might behold the beauty of our Savior Jesus Christ in his fullness and the love that you have expressed to us in him. Lord, please give me your words and help us to hear your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we will conclude our sermon series that we've been going through over these past 4 weeks, this Advent sermon series where we've been considering the person work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the lens of four names that he has given in Scripture: the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of Adam, and then today the Son of God. We began by considering how Jesus is the true Son of David, the chosen king who will sit on not only David's throne, but God's throne, over all of God's kingdom, in fact, over all heaven and earth. Then we considered how Jesus was the son of Abraham, the child of promise, through whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Last week, we reflected on how Jesus is the true son of Adam, the true man of righteousness who came to save his people from their sins and to destroy the works of the devil. And today we come to the highest of these names, the greatest names of the names, the name that is above every other name. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the eternal, one and only Son of God. But as we come to this, we also come to the pinnacle and glory of salvation itself. What I mean is this, is we tend to think of salvation somewhat abstract terms, as though we talk about being saved from things, saved from our sins, saved from the punishment and the judgment and the wrath that is due to us because of our sins. Jesus certainly saved us from those things. Or we also talk about salvation unto something, how Jesus came to give us eternal life and all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings that God has promised. And he certainly does do that. But all of these are not mere abstract concepts. They're very relational blessings, relational benefits. And what we see in this passage is the wonderful truth that the very Son of God came to give us the right to become children of God, in the Son of God. All these blessings that are ours in salvation, even the purpose of salvation, was to make us fit to be called children of the living God. Now, this passage is one of the most clearest in all of Scripture that explains to us the deity of Jesus Christ. By that, I mean, speaks to us clearly about who he is as the Son of God. And so we want to take some time to reflect a bit on what it has to say about Jesus as the person of our salvation. And John says a few very important things. The first thing that he says is that Jesus, our Savior, is the eternal God. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word, the very Son of God, is identified both as being with God and being God himself. And he is eternal, because in the beginning was the Word. When the beginning began, the Word was already there. He is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Secondly, we could say that the Son of God is the very manifestation or expression of the heart of God. Because he's identified as the Word of God. Scripture tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus is the Word of God. Out of the heart of the Father. Proverbs says that as in water face reflects face, so with man, the heart of man reflects the man. And the Son of God is the perfect reflection, the perfect manifestation, the perfect expression. He is the image of the invisible God so perfectly that Jesus said, if he who has seen me has seen the Father. All that he said, all that he did was from the heart of God. He was perfectly obedient. Third, we see in this that he is, this Son of God is so fully God that he is the creator and sustainer of all things. Genesis, the first line of Genesis tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, John begins, in the beginning was the Word. And he says in verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Hebrews tells us that he upholds the universe by the word of his power as the very Son of God from all eternity. He is the creator and the sustainer and therefore the rightful Lord and King over all things. The Son of God is this very thing. Third or fourth, he is the self-existent God. It says, in him was life. In him was life. No one gave him life. In him is life. He is the giver of life. He is the author of life. He is life, and this life is light. This life was the light of men, the life that would give light to men. And as true light, just as you, when you flip on the light switch, the light pierces the darkness doesn't squelch the light, so this light pierced the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Fifth thing we could say is that he is the one and only true Son of God. It says that the Word became flesh, this is verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the eternal Son of God who has dwelt in perfect unity with the Father and the Spirit, perfect fellowship, perfect love, perfect intimacy. But he's also the perfect and eternal beloved Son. In the days of his earthly ministry, the Father revealed himself and as his son was being baptized, and he said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." This son from all eternity was perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, a perfect blessing from all eternity. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. He came to reveal God himself. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And yet, we see two things about him that are not so good. The first is that he was an unrecognized son. He came into the world, and then although the world was made through him, the world did not know him. The very creator of all things, the one who created mankind in his own image, took on human flesh and came, and the world did not recognize him. And as a result, the world did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. He came to the ones that he had created. He came to the ones he created in his image. He came to the ones that he loved and he entered into covenant with and he spoke with, and they did not receive him. He was despised and rejected. And yet, he came for the glorious purpose of salvation. And that's what we see is the purpose for which he came. But for those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And beloved, this was the pinnacle of salvation, that we would be given the right to become children of God. And this was God's loving purpose. As Jesus will say in chapter 3 to Nicodemus, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life in God's presence. Eternal life with God's blessing. Eternal life as a child of the living God. And this wasn't just God's loving purpose. This was God's eternal purpose and love. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 1. "In love, God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved Son." God's eternal purpose to be realized in the fullness of time was that he would send his one and only beloved Son to give us the right to become children of God. And beloved, what we need to understand is that we need him to give us that right. This is we need to have salvation in order to have this right. We were created to be children of God. If we look at the genealogy that Luke gives us of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get back to the son of Adam, we get to Adam, what it says next is that it shows us that Adam was considered the son of God. Adam himself, the first man, the father that we all share, was the son of God. And if he had continued to live as the son of God, and if he had honored God as his father, then he would have remained the son of God for all eternity. He would have been the eternal son of God. with eternal life, eternal blessings, all the rights and privileges and honors of being a child of the living God. And yet he didn't. He disobeyed God, who was his true father. He obeyed the word of the devil, the word of the serpent, and he fell into sin. And as a result, there was then two families. God described the children, the offspring of the woman, and then the offspring of the serpent. And beloved, that is the state of all mankind as it is right now. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the one who came to give us light and truth, he declared this very thing in a debate that he had with the teachers of the law in John chapter 8. He said, I come to see, to say and to do all that my Father has sent me to do. I am an obedient son, and you do what your Father tells you to do. What he's saying is, he says, your true Father, the true Father that you have, is the Father that you obey. He said, I'm obedient to my Father, and you're obedient to your Father. And they said, well, come on, Abraham is our father. And he said, oh, no. If Abraham was your father, you would do the works that Abraham did. You're trying to kill me. Abraham never would have never tried to do that. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You're not rejoicing to see my day. And they said, you're crazy. We're not children born in sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And he said, oh no, if God were your father, then you would love me because I came from God. Why is it that you don't believe what I have to say? He said, you don't believe what I have to say because you listen to your father. He is a liar. There is no truth in him. I speak the truth. You don't believe me because I speak the truth. So you try to do what you live in accordance with your father, the devil. Can you imagine being the bystanders to that conversation and saying, man, Jesus, that's awfully harsh. You're saying that these teachers of the law are children of the devil? So that's harsh. These are the good guys. These are the church people. These are the people that know their Bibles. These are the people that are teaching people what God's word says. How can you say that they are children of the devil? And he said, because you did not receive me. And beloved, that is the state that every one of us is born into. By nature, we are born into sin in a world where we have no desire to hear the word of God, no desire to give honor and praise and to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent by God. And as a result, we are by nature children of the devil. And that is very bad news, because God's richest blessings, which he has promised, are for his children. And the promise he has given to the children of the devil is Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. But beloved, the good news of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ came to give us the right to become children of the living God. Children not born of blood or the will of man, but born of God. And beloved, this requires salvation. And only the Son of God could have accomplished this work. Only the Son of God could do this. Because of what salvation means, beloved, what it means to be a child of the living God, we must look at the Son of God in his purity and his majesty and say, that is what he is promising and that is what he is accomplishing. What there is in the Son of God is from all eternity, he has been in perfect unity and fellowship with God himself. The Father in the Son, in the Spirit, all three of them together in fullness and blessing and unity and love. For that to happen, there must, for us to have any right to be able to have that type of fellowship, salvation must happen. There must be something that is fixed, because we are not God's children. We are children who have rebelled against him. We are impure and unholy. Someone must make us fit to be in God's presence and to make us fit so that God can be in our presence. And only the Son of God could do that. Only the Son of God could unite God and man. And he did that in his own flesh. And so the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. God himself took on human flesh in the womb of a virgin, and he became man, so that in one person, God and man were united together and will be united forever and ever. And beloved, when he ascended on high after having completed his work, the one man, Jesus Christ, our Savior, went into God's own presence, so that man is now fit to be with God. So in him, he has reconciled God and man. He's made it possible. And yet he has to make it actual for you and for me, because we are unholy. We have sinned against him. And so he has to make us fit for God's presence. He needs to make it so that we can be with God and that God could be with us. And so what did he do? He not only took on human flesh, but he was a perfectly obedient son for us, a perfectly holy one. He lived as the perfect son, perfectly doing all the will of the Father, everything that the Father told him to do, everything the Father told him to say. He said it, he did it, even going to the cross. And in him is life. And that life is the light of man. Scripture says that the lifeblood of a person is their life. And in this Son of God who became man, his own blood became life-giving. Only the Son of God could take on the weight, the debt, that all of his people owed for the fullness of their sins. Only the Son of God could endure the discipline of the Almighty God for all of his people. Only the precious, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ could purify the bodies, the souls, the consciences of all of his people and make them holy. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's exactly what the Son of God did. He became a man so that his life-giving blood could purify you and me. He shed his blood to make us holy, to make us fit for God's presence, so that God could dwell with us and we could dwell with him. But beloved, also, the Son of God is eternal. He has the power of an indestructible life. He will dwell with God forever. And for us to be children of the living God, we too must have a share of that eternal life. And so Jesus Christ not only paid the penalty for our sins, but rose from the dead victoriously for us, so that in him we would share in the power of his indestructible life. This the Son of God did, and only the Son of God could do. And yet, that's what he did. But for us to have any share of that, for that to apply to us, what our passage says is that we must receive it, that we must be born. Born again, he told Nicodemus. And so he sent his own Spirit. Only God could do this. Only the Son of God could do this. Send his own Spirit to do all the things that Jesus is, the Son is declared to do, to give light in the midst of the darkness, to give life to those who are dead through the Word, the very Word of God, and to give birth. And so Jesus Christ sent His Spirit, the very Spirit that by which He was conceived, by which gave Jesus Christ, the man, life. He has given His Spirit to give us life. And beloved, just as the Spirit gave life to the body of Jesus, and the Spirit dwelled within the body of Jesus perfectly, so that it was God and man together in one person, when we are born of the Spirit, when we receive this life by believing in His name, when we are raised from the dead, He dwells in us. We have been purified so that God would dwell within us. Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. The Spirit of God would dwell in us. And as Jesus prayed, He said, "Father, make them all one. I, as I am in You and You are in Me, make them one in us." So that we would have fellowship and union with God Himself. And having that fellowship, He's made us fit so that we could dwell in His presence forever and ever. And beloved, that Spirit that He has given to us is called the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Sonship, the Spirit by which we can cry out, "Abba, Father," the Spirit by which we have received all the blessings that Jesus Christ has offered us, that by the love of God are ours by this same Spirit. And beloved, no one else but the very Son of God could be this kind of Savior. None other but the very Son of God could be the Son of David, the true Son of David. Because God had promised that a Son of David would sit on the throne, but it was not just David's throne. It was God's throne over God's kingdom forever and ever. And who but the very Son of God has the right to sit on the throne over God's kingdom? And only the Son of God could be the true son of Abraham, because God had promised Abraham, "One of your own sons would, through that son, all the nations of all the families of the earth will be blessed." But who other than the Son of God could really bestow God's blessings to the nation? And only the Son of God could be the true son of Adam. Adam had a chance to defeat the evil one, and he failed. He fell under temptation. Only the Son of God in power could truly defeat the works of the evil one. And beloved, for this reason, God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son to be our Savior. But beloved, marvel at this. Marvel at the fact that this was God's love for us. This was God's love for mankind. Marvel at what God was doing in this work of salvation. There is an infinite distinction between God and man. We are dust, and He is the creator of all things. Do you see how God Himself exalted mankind by sending His one and only beloved Son to take on human flesh and to become one like us, so that He is a man forever and ever? And do you see His loving purpose for how the purpose of why He did this? So that He would give you and me the right to become children of God, children like the one true beloved Son, that we who are mere dust, we who have been rebels, would have the right to call God Abba, the right to dwell in His presence,
the right to come before him and to ask him for good gifts, the right to cling to him in love, the right for him to bestow his most intimate love, his most saving love, his most tenderest affection. Beloved, this is love. This is astounding love, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. And beloved, Jesus Christ came to give us the right to become children of God. And as children of God, in him, he is promised matchless blessings. Matchless blessings. You know what he's offered us? Everything that belongs to the Son is ours. He's promised us the intimacy and the unity that God the Son has had with God the Almighty from all eternity. He's promised us the purity and the holiness and the righteousness that the Son of God has had from all eternity. He's promised us the eternality, the blessed eternal nature that God has had from all eternity. He's offered to us. Jesus said, you're getting the kingdom. He said, my dear little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, you're going to receive the victory over wickedness forever and ever. You're going to receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And actually, Jesus went further than that. Jesus said to his apostles, he said, my little flock, all that the Father has is mine. And when the Spirit comes, he will take what is mine and he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He will declare it to you. We have a glorious inheritance. The Apostle Paul said it like this: he who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Oh, beloved, the God of the universe has promised to give you all things as a child of the living God, if you receive his son and believe in his name. Beloved, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the love of God in Jesus Christ? This is astounding love. This is the love that we need. Why would anyone not accept this? Why would anyone turn this away? Well, because we are people born into darkness, and we don't recognize him for who he is. We don't receive him because we are born into a sin where we are ignorant of the truth, and the truth is not in us. Oh, beloved, look at the face of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. In him is truth. In him is life. Let the light of his face pierce into the darkness of your heart and receive him. Receive the new birth in Jesus Christ. Beloved, if you've received Jesus, and you can rightly call God your Father, oh, beloved, meditate and rejoice in the fullness of the blessings that are yours in Jesus Christ. But also, these things come to us by his Spirit. And Jesus said this. He said, you who are earthly know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm sure a lot of you will be giving good gifts over the next week, but none of them will even come close to the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives to us all the fullness of the blessings of being a child of the living God. Beloved, ask him. Ask him to give you this Spirit. Ask him with faith. And if you've received him, ask him for more. The Spirit gives us all the things that are Jesus. The light that we need to see our own state. The light for us to see the glory of Christ. The life that we need. The boldness, the courage,
the love that we need. Ask him for more. Ask him to behold the beauty of our Savior Jesus Christ, to grow in our love for our Heavenly Father, our love for one another. Ask him. Jesus has promised. Our Father knows how to give that Spirit. It's a wonderful gift. And he will give it. Oh, beloved, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Children of God. And so we are. Beloved, this is a gift that has been given to us by God. Children who are given the right to be children through the very one and only Son of God. Oh, beloved, believe in him. Accept him. Salvation and eternal blessings are ours in him and him alone. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a marvelous gospel. Sometimes it seems too good to be true, and yet it is marvelously true. It's just our minds are so dull, our hearts are so cold, that we doubt. Oh, Lord, please pierce the doubt. Give us faith. Pierce the ignorance. Give us understanding. Pierce the deadness and give us life. Give us all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.